Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. As you listen, if you think of someone who would benefit from hearing this podcast, just pass it along to them. Well, as of today, there are 10 days until Christmas. Sorry if that strikes fear in your heart, because maybe your list is still way too long. I can totally relate. Seems like that every year, though, doesn't it? I mean, Christmas is the same day every year, December 25th, yet we still have so many things to do to get ready, as if we didn't know. Well, it is that way. Are you more excited about the gifts you might be getting, or are you more excited about the gifts that you are giving? Well, I think if you're like most of us, you're probably more excited about the gifts you're giving, right? I'm that way. It's not how much you spend or how grand the gift. It really is about bringing joy to the recipient. That's what we look forward to most each Christmas. I wonder if that kind of excited expectation of giving a gift was what God felt the night Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God knew that the gift of Jesus would mean the world was about to change. He knew what that gift was going to mean to the world. God knew that there was no way anyone could get that gift on their own. The only way was to receive it from God. And God knew that some would accept His gift, and sadly, some would reject His gift. But that didn't stop God from giving us the gift of His Son. And giving this greatest of gifts wasn't because the world was or is on the nice list. To the contrary, the world was and is on the naughty list. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans 5, starting in verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6, Paul writes, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Well, Max Lucado, the author of our book study, In the Grip of Grace, reminds us of another king who gave an unexpected gift that the recipient was also incapable of getting on his own. We're reminded of King David's gift to Mephibosheth. Who's Mephibosheth? Well, David's best friend, Jonathan, who was King Saul's son, had asked David to remember his family when David became king. Jonathan had saved David's life by helping him escape King Saul's death threats. Jonathan's own father was making death threats against David for years. And Jonathan was best friends with David and didn't want to see David harmed. And so Jonathan helped him escape. But sadly, Jonathan died later in battle. But Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, just an infant then, well, he escaped the battle when his nanny fled the palace with Mephibosheth in her arms. But in the haste of fleeing, the nanny tripped and dropped baby Mephibosheth, and the fall broke his legs such that he was unable to walk on his own the rest of his life. He lived in hiding for years, unaware of the promise David made to Jonathan, his father, all those years ago to be kind to his surviving family members. Oh, but David didn't forget his promise. After all the victories had been won, and David was rightly ensconced on the throne of Israel, the palace, and he was the king, he remembered his promise to his best friend Jonathan those years ago. Max Lucado, in his book, writes this on page 89. He writes, perhaps such a moment of reflection prompted him, David, to turn to his servants and ask, is anyone still left in Saul's family? I want to show kindness to that person for Jonathan's sake, as quoted in 2 Samuel 9:1. Our author goes on to write, those in the grip of grace are known to ask such questions. Can't I do something for somebody? Can't I be kind to someone because others have been kind to me? Oh, this isn't a political maneuver. David isn't seeking to do good to be applauded by people, nor is he doing something good so someone will do something for him. No, David is driven by the singular thought that he too was once weak, and in his weakness, he was helped. David, while hiding from Saul, qualified for Paul's epithet in Romans 5:6 that we just read, when we were unable to help ourselves. Yes. He goes on to write, David was delivered. Now he desires to do the same. A servant named Ziba knows of a descendant. Jonathan has a son still living who is crippled in both feet. King David asked Ziba, where is this son? Ziba answered, he is at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel in Lodabar, as stated in 2 Samuel 9:3 and 4. You know, David hadn't even met Mephibosheth yet, and he was already considering him a son. David sent his people to bring Mephibosheth to the palace to live with them like royalty. Mephibosheth dined with King David and his family, just as if he was part of the family. King David also returned to Mephibosheth all his previously owned land and crops and workers, because Mephibosheth had once been royalty. As our author Max Lucado wrote, though Mephibosheth had been scarred by a fall, the king covered him with grace and invited him to a permanent place at his table. How excited David must have been to extend that gift to one who was scarred by a fall. He covered him with grace and invited him to a permanent place at his table. Oh, can you relate to that? Surely we can. Our author writes this on page 93. He writes, and I ask you, do you see our story in his? Children of royalty, crippled by the fall, permanently marred by sin, living parenthetical lives in the chronicles of earth, only to be remembered by the king. Driven not by our beauty, but by his promise. He calls us to himself and invites us to take a permanent place at his table. Though we often limp more than we walk, we take our place next to the other sinners made saints, and we share in God's glory. He goes on to write, you possess, get this, every spiritual blessing possible. Ephesians 1:3 states, in Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. This is the gift offered to the lowliest sinner on earth. Who could make such an offer but God? John 1:16 says, from him, God, we all received one gift after another. Well, no better gift, the gift of Jesus, has ever been given or received. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from the Lord today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you know someone who would benefit from hearing this, please pass it along to them. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll be resuming on January 12th. Very Merry Christmas to all of you, and Happy New Year.